Hey guys, welcome to the postgame show. Anna, Brett, and JR with you. The last time we hosted a postgame together, it was explosive.
Right.
Right? I shared very personal details. You guys did as well. Do you guys wear white shirts?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I got rid of I have fewer white shirts than I did during that postgame.
How many times do you change? Like, how many pairs of socks do you have?
Oh, how many pairs of socks?
Yeah.
I have a lot of socks.
Right, guys fucking love socks.
Let me see, do
like,
you think?
You guys have so many socks, why is that?
Oh, so I don't have pairs of socks, as evidence today. I have this sock, and I have this sock.
At least they're similar colors.
That's as well as I can do.
Yeah.
Is that, because I like they're blue, they match because they both have patterns on them. Those are matching socks as far as I'm concerned. There is a running joke in our household, which is how many socks are under the couch? And it's in the teens most of the time.
Why?
Just because I'll be like, get home, I'll sit on the couch, and I'm gonna put my socks up on the couch. So I take them off, I kick them off, it's uncomfortable, and they just end up under the couch. Cause I'm like, oh, I don't want them out. So I just kick them under the couch. And then you go and it's like, oh, there's the other anchor socks and whatever random square sock that I'm, you know, that's what happens.
That would drive me crazy.
The problem is I don't throw anything away.
Right.
I mean, there's socks I just don't wear, but I still have them.
Oh my God.
So there's a million. Cause then you were like, these socks are old. I'm gonna buy new socks. I just bought new socks last week. I've not thrown out the old ones.
You gotta do it.
I don't know why.
I
mean, they're done. No, there's a reason I bought new ones. The new ones feel great.
Yeah. Christian's the same way.
I don't know why.
I started throwing stuff away.
Just don't tell him.
No,
because you know what he wears.
But you have to choose which ones, because some it's a 50-50. Some of them he needs to throw away and he doesn't know why. Some he's not throwing away and he does know why. He actually likes those particular ones.
The white socks with the feet on the bottom still, no matter how much you wash them, get rid of it. Because like you walk around and you just hammer your toe, your footprint in there.
Yep.
Get rid of them.
Get rid of them. Yeah. He has every once in a while, when I do the laundry and I'm folding his billion white shirts, I'll come across like underwear that has like it's faded or it has holes, and I'm like, oh, he's holding on to this because maybe he hasn't bought new underwear yet. But he has. He's bought new underwear. He's just like you. And then I feel guilty because the argument that I'll make is it's taking up so much space, like just get rid of. But then I look at our dressers and I look at our closet and it's all my stuff and he has like this tiny little corner and I'm like, oh, okay, I don't really have an argument there. But
what do you need to get rid of or donate?
I hold on to things because I'm cheap. Okay, so this is what I mean by that. I recycle stuff. And like everything comes back into fashion, right? So instead of buying a new wardrobe, I'll bring back something that I haven't worn in 5 years. And people will be like, is that a new dress?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, yeah. You know what I mean? But it's not a new dress. Like I don't have money to spend on new dresses. So like a lot of times when you see something and you're like, oh, is that new? It's most likely not new. Or if it actually is something that I haven't worn before, it's a hand-me-down from my sister-in-law.
Good.
Which I fucking love. Oh, hand-me-downs are the best.
Yeah, I don't know. There's the guys go through this thing where like for my entire life, I was just like a boy of no actual description. Mm-hmm. I was just like a generic white kid. So I had like 1,000 pairs of white socks and like 10 cargo shorts. And white and black t-shirt. Not even black t-shirt. I had a bunch of white t-shirts.
Yeah, of course you did, because you're a dude.
And
yeah.
Like polo shirts. Like that's what you did, because you went to Hollister and whatever they made you buy, you bought.
Did you guys ever wear those JNCO pants?
No.
When they were in style?
The ones that are like the bottom of the pant is like that big around.
Oh, like the tunnel
pants? No, it's like that. Like they're tubes. Like the entire thing tubes. Is
like
one.
Oh, that was like around 97, 98?
Yeah.
Maybe even 99. I never did. It was just big pants. I don't know if there was a. Cause those were like skater style pants, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it was just bigger pants. It wasn't like a thing. And I was a toothpick, so everything looked like I was wearing a big drape.
Yeah.
Same. I was like DJ Qualls, I think is the name of the actor. I was 135 pounds. So it was a skeleton with skin like wrapped around it. And so there was no fashion for me. If I got something that was the right length, I was swimming in it. Where is your default ingrained waistline? for you as a child of the 90s? Like, where do your pants end up?
Well, it hits the waist, like right at the hip.
Oh, really?
Like the pelvis hip bone thing. I never was a sagging pants guy.
Oh, boy.
I'm like there.
I was never a sagging pants guy.
But why? Isn't like that there. So uncomfortable, Brett? Aren't you uncomfortable
right now?
My
pants are unbuttoned because
that's why.
Your pants
are falling. They're falling. They're like halfway lifted. Like, I don't get why people wear their pants like that. It's so uncomfortable.
And his is moderate, so like,
you know. It is moderate. It's not that sad.
The ass isn't going to hold it up, though. That's the thing, is my ass is not helping.
Why most are people, you wearing you get, a belt? It is the most worthless piece of
the reason I undid the belt is because I was sitting. And if your pants are down where mine are, then you sit and now they're stretched and now it's uncomfortable. And then I undid the belt.
Okay, so here's the thing that I don't, a little I bit, hate, like I hate low again. Waist everything. Uh-huh. I hate low rise jeans, like, they're so cool. No, they're not cool. They're so uncomfortable.
Sorry.
I might regret this at some point, but I don't wear low waist. And oh wait,
ladies' night.
Okay.
She doesn't wear flies. She doesn't zip things up.
Oh, I'm tangled.
The post game as advertised.
So for me, like, okay, low rise. Wait. I don't want to show my stomach. Would be right there. I always like to wear higher. Right. But it's not like
because
super
of comfort
high.
Level, because of
yeah,
style.
Yeah, comfort and like also, I'm not gonna show my midriff. Like, I don't like showing my midriff. I'm gonna wear a shirt that's long enough to cover it, so no one's gonna be able to tell like how high my jeans are.
Right.
But I just hate that feeling of muffin top. And no matter how much you weigh, even if you're like you have rock hard abs, if you have low waist pants. Like you get that like spillover, like a little tiny bit of spillover, and it drives me insane. So like
because
when I
humans
see
have organs.
Yeah, exactly. But it feels uncomfortable to me. Yeah, so I like to have it all like, you know, just keep it tight.
I want that to be my ringtone. Anna's calling.
So creepy.
Keep it tight.
Okay. Anyway, all right. So let's go to the topic that we actually.
Sorry, I'm getting everything back. And then also, like this area, like that for guys, to the bottom here, it just doesn't. Mm-hmm. You got to kind of move it. You got to figure it out.
What
That's
do you
why
mean?
I go down, is so that there's more. This is just so much more comfortable.
But see, here's the thing. Maybe anyone who's actually ever tried it, because during sporting events is when you see those commercials for Duluth. I'm sorry for the plug, but Duluth Trading Post or whatever the brand is. I always forget to actually go and see because they have their buck naked underwear and the pants. And I'm like, this is for, and I'm not trying to talk trash, but for bigger overweight guys who need more space for their big thighs or something, right? Mm-hmm. So they need bigger underwear and bigger this and all that stuff. And I was like, I'm not going to try because it's going to just be falling off my ass and I don't want that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, maybe since if you get in the right size, maybe it actually stays on your waist and actually gives you, let's keep it real, ballroom. So that's the whole point. Actually, that's what they call their pants, ballroom jeans, right? And I was like,
Oh, that's smart.
But usually ballroom jeans or something like that will just look like old country ass pants, which look like the tunnel pants we were just talking about, which nobody wants to wear.
Right.
If only we could find someone who owns a pair of Duluth Trading Company underpants. Okay, I do.
Do you really?
Yes. And it's the material. So I don't have the one that goes too far down, but it's the material is very lightweight and moisture. It's almost like athletic moisture wicking material. And it
like dry
it
fit?
Like dry fit. It is so like easy breezy and it gets you here. It stops like right there. So it's not like down the leg. Mm-hmm. And then there's room. And it doesn't bunch, it doesn't go up or down. It is quite delightful.
Their ad said what? No pinch? No stink, no nonsense, something like that.
I push the bounds of stink. I'm sure it won't stop the stink. That's inevitable.
Yeah.
Sorry, no matter how much you try. Anything else? Can we talk about anything else?
No.
I will say that the Duluth Trading Company, I can't sleep naked.
Uh-huh.
I have to wear a shirt because my shoulders. But the Duluth Trading Company shirt, they get cold. I don't know, because this is how where your sheets come up to. I'm not going to wear my sheets up to my neck.
I wear my sheets up to my neck.
Freak
like
show.
The only thing you see is like the very top of my head, because I like to be completely covered, even if it's like 98 degrees.
I was going
to
say,
like,
Anna,
have to be
you're
covered.
A woman, so in 100 degree weather, you probably have down freaking sheet blankets, because women for some reason need to be melting in the middle of the night, and it just doesn't make any sense. But I just, sleeping, I don't know how that happens. I wake up going, okay, someone needs to get the sun off of me because I'm not baking anymore. It's like an oven. I don't get, anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
So I understood you probably wrap up to the top of your head and you just somehow sleep in that. But
so,
yes, you can't, actually you gotta do the, sorry, this is the last thing. Mm-hmm. Like from the knee down has to be out of the blanket, and then torso has to be covered, and then shoulder out has to be out. Like I need to be barely, like only like probably my stomach needs to be covered under blankets.
So like a towel, so like a throw, like a runner just goes right over, meow.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Leg out, here. Shoulder out.
Good for you. But the Duluth Trading Company shirts, the sleep in them, they're like a little heavier than normal.
Oh, they have sleep shirts? That's what you're saying?
This is not, by the way, we're not sponsored.
Not sponsored. So. My mom might be because she bought them for me. It's weird that my mom buys me underpants, but it's like, I know what to get him. But it's just a little thicker. I think I slept in one last night. Oh, you gotta love it. And it goes, it's lower and it's bigger and it's
okay.
The best. Let's talk about earthquakes.
All right, let's talk about earthquakes. So there was a devastating earthquake in Mexico today. We talked about it on the show. And since Brett and I are LA natives, we experienced a big earthquake back in 1994. I was 8 years old at the time. How old were you?
12.
You're 4 years older than me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
And so if you have any questions that you need a wise advisor on, just let me know.
So I think I've shared my story about, you know, where my mind was and how I reacted to it. But just I'll quickly retell it for people who missed it. So there had been earthquakes prior to that, but they were small. There were small earthquakes. And my parents had experienced so many of them that they were always super nonchalant. And so, you know, the earth would shake. And then my parents would just be like, everything's gonna be fine. And we would just stay inside. I would panic, but then they'd be like, everything's fine, everything's fine. And so keep in mind that when the big earthquake struck, I was 8 years old. And my first reaction was, and it's 4:30 in the morning, so it's dark, I'm in bed. First thought was, the earth is shaking quite aggressively. But I don't think my parents care, so I'm gonna go back to sleep, right? So I tried to go back to sleep, and the second like that thought crossed my mind, my mom busts through the door.
Wow.
And she's like, on the heat, ures. Like that means, where are you? And then I panicked, right? So here's the thing, you wanna keep your kids calm, don't panic. Because my mom panicked, she grabbed me, and then we stand in the doorway because that's supposed to be the strongest, most stable part of the structure. And then I just remember praying out loud with my mom.
Yeah.
And then that was when I was really scared. And what I remember feeling was that it was almost as if the house was on top of like oil, right? And it felt like it was going like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I thought it was just gonna like flip. That's how intense it was. So it didn't feel like this, it felt like this. If that makes any sense.
Yes.
And by the time we got outside, my parents were frantically trying to turn the gas off. And they kind of had to like leave me and my brother in the front yard as they did that. And our neighbors came. And I remember, I was always like kind of shy with our neighbors. But I remember running up to one of our neighbors and like holding on to him. And he was hugging me. And that was like such a comforting feeling. And then for the next, I don't know, week or two, we slept outside in the front yard because there were little quakes after that. We didn't know if there was going to be another big one.
So my experience was I always watched a movie to fall asleep when I was, I guess I was 11 still. Mm-hmm. And one of that movie was 101 Dalmatians. Mm-hmm. Have not watched 101 Dalmatians since that night. But the VCR, which I had stopped, and then it went over to cable. And I actually woke up, the earthquake was at 4:31. I woke up at about 4:25.
Oh, wow.
To the end of Fletch.
Okay.
On Comedy Central, just scrolling through like, nah, 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 bit by bit, or whatever the song, I think it was Bit by Bit was the song. And that happened, and then I heard it coming.
Uh-huh.
So a big earthquake that happened, I was in Canoga Park, it was in Northridge, they're like right next to each other. It sounded like a freight train was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, and then you hear the squeaking is what I always think of from earthquakes, is your wooden house squeaking.
Yeah.
And my mom runs over and our doors are next to each other. My dad's out of town. My mom comes to my doorway and she starts praying. And to hear we didn't do a lot of religious stuff in the house. And if you hear your mom praying, you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
This is really bad. My brother's down the hallway. We wait. It was 30 seconds long, 30 seconds of, and things are falling off. I know. We go down after it's done, go outside, and everyone's out on their street. We lived on a cul-de-sac in suburbia. And then we knew that our friend Danny down the street had an RV. So that was parked on the street all the time. Everyone from the neighborhood went down and stayed in Danny's RV. Meanwhile, in I think Indianapolis is where my dad is. He's shaving at 7 o'clock in the morning. And he's looking at the TV and it says, massive earthquake, 6.8 ravages Los Angeles area. We think it, or probably at that time, it's like possibly a 7-point earthquake. He gets on the phone, calls us, phones out. Gets on the phone, calls his friend Ron, who lives in Agoura, which is like 30 miles away. Ron answers like, yeah, it was pretty intense. And my dad goes, go find him. Ron, bless his heart, braves the pandemonium to drive.
Then there's no
to
cell
us.
Phones. Keep
there's
in mind.
No yeah. cell phones. My dad had one because he's like a businessman. Drives to our street. And finds what? The door's open. The house is empty. No one's there. Because we're down the street having hot chocolate in Danny's RV. Ron waits for like an hour, walks around, tries to investigate. No luck. Gets in his car, drives back to Agoura where there's cell phone coverage, calls my dad. My dad's like, what happened? And Ron's like, I couldn't find him.
Oh my gosh.
My dad says, go back. Ron's like,
dude.
All right, he goes back, finds us. Finally that happened. But the rest of the week, you don't know where to be. We go to my grandmother's house in Camarillo. And that by that, you know, the 5-point earthquakes are now 4-point earthquakes, which everyone knows that from Independence Day, the movie, that first scene when Vivica A. Fox turns to Will Smith after the ground shakes and just goes, not even a 4-pointer. That's the threshold where you start to get a little freaked out.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between people who are from here and grew up with it and not.
And you still, but so as kids, generally, you guys are kids, you still had a fear because you were kids. But then obviously in adulthood, nothing has been that big here. I don't know if you guys have been us, but like, so the what we see is, okay, so the best comparison, at least from my experience, so I can't speak for everyone that was in the Midwest, but the Northridge one, I actually don't have a direct memory of the reporting on. Maybe I missed it, maybe my parents didn't have the news on, because in my house, it was, that remote is not yours, don't effing touch it. So, so it was whatever was on TV that they put on. So, but the one that we're up north, Northern California, Bay Area happened, that picture of the bridge collapsing on itself.
Yeah.
I can't count how many times we saw it.
Yeah.
It was in one hour, 40 times.
The elevated Embarcadero collapsing.
Yeah.
They didn't rebuild it. Yeah. It's all on the ground.
And then so the fear that it installed in people that aren't living it, they're like, oh my God, the ground is shaking. And you can't do anything. You just stand there and get flipped upside down. Just the fear that it that you have to now have, to now, I have many family members that are, my whole father's side is from St. Louis, where we lived. They have never been to California, ever. Not once, won't visit. Be like, oh, you guys get earthquakes out there.
Yeah.
That's like so, from something from the early 90s you think about.
So it's interesting because I feel like even though we've been through it and we know how scary it really is, like we should be more fearful. But I've noticed that I'm way less fearful of earthquakes than Christian is. And Christian's not from Los Angeles. He's never experienced a big quake. He's from Florida. So Florida, where they have like hurricanes and massive storms all the time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, I don't want to deal with that shit.
Yeah.
But last night, there was a small earthquake, 3-point-something. And it happened at 11:30. I'm going to tell you the full story. So it happened at 11:30 at night. Around that time, I believe. And here's what happens in the Caspez household around that time.
Love it.
I'm usually dressed in like a nightie or something. So I mean, I'm comfortable going out in a nightie, but I don't want to go out in a nightie if I don't have to. And also, I'm probably stoned.
Bless you, child.
Like, yeah. So last night it was hilarious because I've had like really bad insomnia, and I had stopped smoking or utilizing any marijuana. And then finally, I was like, I need to sleep. So I started eating edibles like right before bed. Fucking knockout. And I wake up refreshed. It's the best. But anyway, so the edible had just kicked in, and all of a sudden the earth shakes. And this is my reaction. I'm lying in bed and we're watching TV. I'm like I'm looking around, but Christian, who's laying next to me, is like, what's going on? What's going on? Right? And so then I think I said, oh, maybe we should go outside, but I was like half joking because it wasn't big enough to warrant like enough fear to go outside. But once I said go outside, he like jumped. I've never seen him act this quickly on anything before, right? Jumps out of bed. Him jumping out of bed led to Charlie freaking out. Charlie started barking because Charlie was like weirded out by it, but he didn't really react until Christian reacted. And then Christian's not dressed at all, so he's like
naked.
He's naked because he likes to sleep naked. I maybe shouldn't have disclosed that, but whatever.
I would assume.
I don't like.
He's a free spirit.
He is. Yes, absolutely. Anyway, he's like frantically putting clothing on. I grab Charlie calmly, and then we kind of make our way toward the front door. And I'm taking my time because I want to grab my purse in case there is a follow up that's even more extreme. I want to have like the important stuff with me. And so I'm taking my time, and he's like, "Why are you taking your time? Hurry up! We gotta go! We gotta go!" And I was like, "It's not that serious.
It's over, dude.
It's over.
It's literally over. Like yeah. It's not. It lasted. It was literally this."
No, it was a little stronger than that.
No, that was it.
Well, I was stoned. So
it is always
it's
always that first like jolt, and then you're like, was that a car?
Yeah.
And then there's a little feeling of like, oh, unease. And then it settles or it doesn't.
Right.
So
yeah.
There's the fuse of like, all right, and that's Dr. Lucy from Caltech was the person that we all listened to. Dr. Lucy is the person that they went to all the time right after. And Dr. Lucy always said after an earthquake of 5.0 or so, she's like, my kids ran into my room. I held them in bed because I've already made sure there's no large art over my bed, and we wait. And that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I usually do too.
So you're out the door, he's out the door.
We're out the door. We actually went outside. We went to the courtyard area and we sat there for, I mean, it felt like an eternity, but who knows. And then finally I was like, baby, it's okay, like we can go back. And the funny thing is then he sends like a screenshot of a news story about the earthquake to the group family text. His family's panicking about it. And I'm like writing back to them, I'm like, it's not a big deal, it was a small, like nothing happened. No one died. There's no damage. Everything's
literally
great.
No damage.
No damage. So it was a small one, but what it did make me wonder is if it's just kind of like a foreshadowing quake, because it's been a while since we've had a big
and
one.
And then so you wonder also the you know, but there's earthquake-proof buildings. I'm sure everyone's heard of. I was in one. This is in college. The only somewhat big earthquake I've experienced. I've experienced like three, but like I was on like the 15th floor at a party, and I'm near the window. And I was like, am I drinking too much? And because I just see outside moving. And I'm like, it's like you're on a ship with some serious.
Yeah, because it literally is.
Because you're not feeling the ground anymore. Now you're just feeling the building move with the ground.
Yes.
So it's moving this much. Like I see the window doing this. And I'm like, what the? So I went to the window. It was my first earthquake. I was probably like a sophomore in college. And I went to the window. And I'm like, this is my first earthquake. And I was being an idiot college kid and just enjoying it. Not thinking about what should I do if I die today. So that is like, so to be in a, to when you choose like where you're living, you look up this building was built in 1970. You're like, oh, that's probably not gonna stand up very well in a serious earthquake versus it was built last year, you know? So there's all these things that can be taken into account. And we were gonna talk about earthquake preparedness. I wanted like the minimal amount. I have a friend who she sets up everything, like has emergency bags and then this kind of food, you drop two drops of water on it, it's military grade and it turns into a big salad, whatever it is. And I was like, I'm not, and those earthquake bags cost, they're not too much, but they cost a good amount.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not wasting $60 on an earthquake bag, I'll put my own together. It's just like with restaurants for me. So I'll put my own damn thing together. But just the minimal of getting out of the house and having shoes and a shirt and something that you're good with if it's the middle of the night. Because I feel like earthquakes only happen in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been lucky that they have. I was at work once when we had an earthquake. Mm-hmm. I think it was probably 2008. And it was probably a 4 or 5 or something. And you could tell. You could tell people from LA, just do that.
Yeah, they waited out.
And everyone else is like, what the because you don't have that experience. People from here draw from every experience of every earthquake they've had. Mm-hmm. And we're comparing.
Right.
Those experiences.
Oh, really?
You know, and it's weird because it's not like it's been 15 years since the last one. They all just seem to be like, yeah, this is standard somehow. And then actually Bree Esrig, who was on Pop Trigger today, her dad's business is the Shaky Quakey Bus. That's not what his is called, but there's a bus that they bring to elementary schools that is hydraulically equipped to simulate. NARS was the Shaky Quakey van or bus, and it had Yogi Bear affiliated with it. And
those were the best.
The Jellystone, the animals and rangers of Jellystone are like, hey, kids. And it had shelves with stuff on it, and it was like, here's what it feels like in a hey boo boo in like a 4-point earthquake. And then it goes up to an 8.0, and you get to sit in there and feel all the shakes and everything and watch stuff
really
fall
cool
off.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's one of his businesses, and it's a pretty awesome.
This is why you California kids were used to, because they gave all this training. We had tornado drills in St. Louis.
Oh, see, that's fucking terrifying.
Getting under desks to make sure the thing doesn't kill us.
Yeah.
So it's all obviously wherever you are.
Regardless of what the disaster is.
One's underground, and seldom does an earthquake move at 150 miles an hour.
Yeah, exactly. So the fear of that one in 08, I think I was living in a condo and I was on the top floor of the building. As well, it was a 2-layer condo, and I was on the top floor, and I was sitting on my bed writing on my computer, and it was like, and I was like, I'm gonna wait, and I don't know why I wanted to wait. Like I said, I've only lived through like 2 or 3, but I was like, I'll wait, because it was an older building, it was in the 70s built, and I said, if this comes down, so I started contemplating. I said, should I be downstairs, but the building comes on me, or should I be upstairs where I can be on top of most things? Only thing that can come down on me is this roof. The floors under me are under me, but then there's holes. That's such a stupid logic that, I'm gonna ride this like a wave or something.
As it's falling, like jump away from debris and ride it to the bottom.
There's no good plan if you're inside of a building, honestly, because how is this building gonna fall?
Well,
no one knows.
I think the only, not the only, but the most important earthquake preparedness to think about is the quickest exit strategy. So that was the thing that I noticed about last night, because while he was frantically trying to leave and I was also under the influence of stuff, I started running toward the elevator, and I'm like, why am I doing this? First of all, the elevator is further from where our unit is, and then there's a staircase directly across our door.
So good.
I mean, that was so dumb. So he went for the staircase because he's smarter than me. And I'm like, oh yeah, I should. But anyway, I'm glad that happened, because now I know if there's a big one, I know exactly how I'm gonna get out. You wanna get the fuck out of that building. There's if it's a big one, get out.
My ex-boss is from here. She went to SC, so she's got experience in SoCal. Her husband's from Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. And she, her whole snap story on Instagram last night was her husband overreacting. It was so great, because he was like, it was afterwards, but he had come to the realization that like, we're not prepared. And so he was running and putting like dry food in the car just to like be ready for next time. And she's just laughing at him the whole time.
That is pretty funny.
But wait until the shaking's done before you do anything. A lot of the drills that we did in elementary school was get under a table that has like solid support and isn't too big and isn't too small. And hold on to the table, because what you want to do is get away from any debris that might be flying in, specifically from like any windows that might shatter.
And also just secure as many pieces of furniture as possible. Like things will fly at you, things will fall down, whether it's bookshelves or dishes and things like that. It's hard.
Yeah. Also, at all times, just wear padding. Just pads.
So it comes in waves. Is that what you guys saying? That I don't remember. If it's a big enough one, like Northridge, there's a wave and then it stops for a second and then it goes again. Is that
what
you're saying?
It just seems to be that's what happened. Like most of my experiences with them lately, and lately means in the last like 10 years, I just remember it's like you're here and then you move and then you're kind of doing this for a second.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So. And then it'll either be followed by something larger, or that's it. It's just that one little thing. So that's the reason why I think we were used to just kind of waiting. And then if it like starts up again, that's when the panic strikes.
But I totally get people who are terrified by it, because your whole life you rely on the earth not to move. And for us, we rely on the earth not moving most of the time. But if it does, you know, we'll deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Good God.
Anyway, fun story, Duluth, earthquakes.
Sleeping naked. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Cold shoulder.
Yeah, I don't like to sleep naked.
What do you wear, a nightie?
I like to wear cute little night, sometimes shorts, but mostly like little night dresses.
Yeah, like, that was a competition on Project Runway, was to design it, and I watched it with my, at the time, fiance, now wife. And she was like, I would sleep in that, I would not sleep in that at all. And I didn't even know that science, but women have it.
I like to feel nice when I'm sleeping. I like to feel pretty.
Boxer shorts and a tee. Done.
All right. All right, guys. Thanks for watching. We don't have anything else to add. So we'll see you tomorrow.
Get out of here.
Have a good night.